playing the different games on the different phones to earn the points. I would get these older phones on eBay. They're like locked to a carrier. The microphone is busted and people are selling them for like $5 or $10. Or I could order track phones on HSN and QVC, and they're like $30 or $40 for these phones. And you're getting a real phone number. So then you could double dip in other apps and programs and get some maybe free birthday rewards or restaurant rewards, because maybe some people have multiple birthdays in a year. You never know, right?
Welcome to Travel Stories with your hosts, Tom Kim and Trevor Mountcastle. This week, this episode, we welcome Justin, and is it Vakula? Am I pronouncing that right, Justin?
Vakula.
Vakula. That's why I asked. I should have asked before we hit record. But it's great to have you on. I mean, I think we've met in person, but I think you saw Tom far more recently.
Yes, that's right. I was getting off a cruise ship. I was on a Hyatt shuttle and I saw him outside and thinking, oh, wow, is that really him? That must be Tom. How are you here at the same time? Like, oh, yeah, you must have the Wind cruise as well. Although you went to Iceland and I was going to Norway or getting back from Norway.
You are absolutely correct. Yep. I also did that Wind match and got that cruise on Holland America and choose a slightly different itinerary, but you know, it was fun running into you. I mean, it's, you know, it happens a lot more often than you'd think. It's just real, you know, fun running into people, you know, kind of in the wild in another country. It's fun when it happens, you know.
I had hard to pronounce fjords and you had hard to pronounce glaciers in other places.
I think anything in Icelandic is hard to pronounce.
Yes, it's been really nice. You mentioned, yes, we do travel in packs. And when the certain deals drop, people pounce. So that Win offer was very great. The tier matching continues to this day, although not at Win at the moment. But surely there will be more opportunities in the future.
Yeah. You know, and I think we both got to kind of enjoy, a really good offer, a really good deal with that match. What it kind of showcased was kind of the travel hacking you could do really with cruising and with gambling, you know, which is something I think you've done quite a bit of, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, absolutely. There are lots of intersections between miles, points, and gambling. And I've been saying for years that it's valuable to have status, to earn status. And there are many creative ways that you can do that without actually gambling, playing on the square, losing 5 to 10% house edge, playing triple zero roulette, or I saw recently quad zero roulette. So I'm talking about gambling with an advantage, gambling intelligently, using credit intelligently, and getting lots of rewards for it. So that Win tier match was definitely one. At that time, everybody basically had Caesar's diamond status because you were able to match Wyndham diamond status. That sense has died. But there are still many on-ramps where you can continue to get casino status, including the MGM credit cards, as they recently launched a new card, the Iconic card, and Caesars launching a Caesars Prestige credit card.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear about that. I mean, I think the great thing of having you on here, Justin, is I think you've got a interesting point of view. You know, I think you definitely have leveraged kind of some of these different gambling loyalty programs and kind of how to utilize them in some unique ways that maybe that were not intended, that do work out great from a travel hacking perspective. And there are probably some situations where some of the non-gamblers out there can take advantage, and some of the people who also like a little bit of gambling can also take advantage.
Yes, we're definitely in the minority of putting lots and lots of spend on credit cards and spending in creative ways, whether it be reselling prepaid cards, gift cards, online gambling. But these systems are there and we can use them to our advantage rather than lamenting the system, claiming that things are expensive when they're really not, if you put in a little bit of effort. So definitely understanding the rules, wondering who makes the rules, as a doctor I used to work with said, and finding out where the line is, if you can, and not getting shut down and keeping this for the long term. As we're in it for the long game, we're not here to just hit and run and get shut down everywhere. So it's trying to figure out what makes sense. So I've been doing a lot of the online gambling, particularly playing blackjack, where in the long run, I'm expected to lose about 0.5% to the house. But if I'm loading funds with a 2-5% advantage and I'm able to scale that up, continue to have that advantage, it's really beneficial. And I'm getting the statuses, which come with a lot of cool perks like room upgrades, late checkout, waived resort fees, waived parking, the complimentary cruises, and so much more.
I just want to caution us here, and I'm the neophyte in the group here in this conversation. So I think you're using a lot of more, shall we say, gambling parlance. When you say a 2-5% advantage when you load a card, if I could offer translating, you're saying that you're loading online blackjack balance with a 2-5% category bonus card that, you know, maybe it's the Visa gift cards that come fee free from Staples, and then you can load that up to your blackjack account. Is that an accurate interpretation?
Yes, that's right. As Milenomics has said since I think day one, that all manufactured or creative spend is local. So it depends what you have in your area. Staples is a common way to have an advantage with online gambling because I'm using cards like the Chase Inc. Cash, getting 5x ultimate rewards at Staples. So when they run the fee-free MasterCard promotions, I can go to Staples, buy $1,800 worth of MasterCard gift cards, getting that 5x ultimate rewards, and then I can turn around and deposit those on various gambling websites and play blackjack. So on the acquisition side, I'm getting that 5x UR, and over the long run, I'm going to play through these funds and lose about 0.5% on my deposit.
Now, when you play through, I have to ask, because on the cruise ships, we commonly talk about the strategy of you load the slot machine from your account, which ends up getting you, let's say, 3 or 4 points per dollar based on the card that you've loaded to your shipboard account. And then after you've played through 50%, you pull that cash out, you put it in your pocket, and then you load more. Are you doing something similar with the online blackjack, or is it a different strategy?
It is similar. With online, I've seen many data points of casino sites saying that you need to play through funds exactly one time. So if you were to deposit $100, play only 50, and then attempt to withdraw, you're almost certainly going to get adverse action from the casino sites because it doesn't seem like legitimate play. They're going to make up all kinds of things about that. So if I were to deposit $100, for example, I would play through that $100 before withdrawing the funds. So that's the playthrough. And while I'm playing, I use a click counter app to keep track of my play. Because, of course, America loves math. So if I were to deposit $100, for example, and play $5 units or $5 hands on blackjack, I would do 100 divided by 5. I would have 20 on my click counter. And every time I placed a bet, I would decrease the amount so I can keep track of my play because, for the most part, the casino sites don't do that for you. Now, with the in-person play like video poker, it will show your tier score on the screen. And from that, you can determine how much you need to accumulate to justify the 1x playthrough. But online, I keep track myself. So I've made several YouTube videos on my Hurdy Gurdy Travel podcast where I show a live session and explain how I keep track, how I understand the strategy of the game using a basic strategy chart, and how these different websites work. So being in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, this is quite an opportunity to be able to source prepaid cards, gift cards, and use those to fund the sites rather than just ACHing money in, probably earning nothing on those deposits and just taking a loss. Whereas this kind of creative shifting spend in a way of using a credit card at an office supply store and then using those prepaid cards to fund, I'm getting an advantage and only playing with an advantage.
Yep. Sounds pretty cool. Are there any advantages with using some of the these new like casino cards that have come out recently? Is there a play there at all?
Yes, the original MGM credit card and the current iconic card, the new ish card we're recording in August of 2025, they are unique on BetMGM because you can fund BetMGM directly with the credit card and you're earning at least 1x tier and 1x comps or free play. So on a load, you're always going to have an advantage, although a slight one. I say at least because sometimes they bonus loads. There have been 3x promotions in the past. So if you were to load $1,000 on a 3x promo, you would get 3,000 tier and what, $30 in free play or comps, which is dramatic. But at the 1x, it's only a slight edge, but it ends up being clicking buttons from home to generate tier, and the comps are free play that will give you an advantage. So I think through these methods, it's extremely easy to get MGM Gold status, which is 75,000 tier if you're in a online gambling friendly state. Many states don't have the table games, unfortunately. So I'm in PA and New Jersey often, and that's a big benefit. Some people travel to PA and New Jersey so they can participate in this. So that's really nice. So it's a slight edge on the loads, but I think the real benefit is through the status, where the different status levels of MGM, Gold is a real sweet spot at 75K tier. You're going to get a complimentary cruise that they recently added to MGM Rewards, an Ocean View cruise, I believe is a 5-night cruise. You get waived resort fees, which is a big one, a $100 dining credit that's just loaded to your comp balance. Free parking comes at Pearl, so you're definitely going to get that with Gold. You'll get to skip some lines in Las Vegas, which is a nice thing. You'll potentially get room upgrades. And then with Gold, you can probably match that MGM Gold status to many other programs.
Cool. I have MGM Gold, and I will say I do enjoy it for not having to pay for resort fees, you know, at the various MGM properties. So definitely a good level to have. And unfortunately, I typically match that from my Royal Caribbean Diamond status. And so I don't get the other perks, but I still enjoy the other matched perks. They're still pretty valuable to me when I'm in Vegas and other places.
Yes. And for extra credit, you can go to Platinum status, which is 200K tier, which is a bigger gap, but you get a $600 flight rebate. You get another cruise, a balcony cruise for, I believe, up to 7 nights, a $200 dining credit, late checkout, and many other benefits. So now with 2 credit cards from MGM, the original no annual fee card and the new iconic card, it's a $249 annual fee, but every year you get $200 back as what they call a resort credit. And when I went to the MGM Players Club or the MGM Rewards desk, they just loaded $200 right to my comp balance. So at that point, it's almost like a $49 annual fee card. And then, of course, there are many other benefits on the card with some high spend goal and the ability to load to BetMGM, which I think is the big part of it. And you can also use it for in-person spend. The new iconic card gets 6x tier and comps are free play on MGM spend. And then it has various 2x categories, including grocery and fuel. So it's possible to spend your way to Gold status, especially if you apply for the cards earlier in the year. But now we're recording in August, so it probably wouldn't be a good time to sign up for these cards because the tier won't be meaningful unless you put in some other play or gambling or earn tier in another way. And it brought you over into Gold. So probably January would be a good time to sign up for these cards. And the sign-up bonuses sometimes throw you 10K tier, 20K tier. So it gives you a little bit of a head start. So I think MGM Gold is a very reasonable status that many people can get through credit card spend, especially those in the audience that are more intermediate to advanced to engage in a lot of creative spend, as we mentioned earlier.
So it sounds like the plan really for our listeners that are just trying to get into this is probably to start planning out for 26.
Yes, have an Apparama plan maybe for January, February, sometime early in the year, because of course we know the answer to everything is more credit cards.
How about the Caesars card? I seem to notice
you've got me speechless on that one because I agree.
How does the Caesars card stack up? I seem to notice that you might be going to Atlantic City for one of the multiplier weekends or weeks that Caesars does every now and again. Am I correct about that?
Yes, I think with Caesars credit card or cards, you have to take more of a hybrid approach to get meaningful status. In the past, the no annual fee Caesars card was quite underwhelming, although it had one thing going for it, that you would spend $5,000 on the card in a calendar year and you'd get 5,000 tier credits. But that 5,000 only took you a third of the way to Diamond status, which is 15,000 tier. Now they've released a new credit card, the Prestige card. And with the Prestige card, you need to spend a whopping $50,000 on the card in order to get to Diamond. So you can spend your way to Diamond and it overshoots Diamond a little bit, but that's quite a high spend goal. And the earnings on the cards aren't so great. There's some 2X categories, but the 1X everywhere else is probably what people would be doing. But it can still make sense if you value that Caesar's diamond status. And historically, Caesar's hasn't been so kind about tier matching, or they had a once in a lifetime rule, which may or may not remain. But with recent devaluations, the tier matching with Caesar's not accepting the Wyndham status, it's not looking so good. So I think some in-person play during a tier credit multiplier, like you mentioned, that 10x tier credit multiplier, I'll be playing video poker in Atlantic City, a low house edge, but getting the 10x tier and some play on the books, I think will be well worth it. I've been getting many return offers, Caesars rewards air, fly to Tahoe, fly to Vegas, fly here, fly there, and a lot of complimentary nights, even during the weekends. So generally, I don't advocate for in-person play, but with a 10x tier credit multiplier, if you're giving up a few percent on video poker, but you're getting status in exchange, it's probably a good deal, especially if you're just going for the 15K diamond. They've definitely devalued the program. So I think MGM Rewards is the winner of the both if you had to choose one. But of course, we can often choose all of the above.
So I'm glad that you made that comment about the Wyndham card, because that's where I was going to go relative to Caesar's diamond status. Now, if I heard you correctly, that's not working anymore?
Yes, the war on happiness definitely hit hard in January, February-ish, when many people tried to match back. There were several announcements that the tier matching would be dead from that route. So many, most, or maybe all were not able to. But for years, I've been saying have backup methods and have statuses in other ways. So personally, I signed up for both MGM credit cards. I had the no annual fee Caesars card, and I recently upgraded it to the new annual fee, not to be confused with the no annual fee Caesars credit card. So now I'll be able to earn even more tier through the new credit card. So the game changes, as we all know. And unfortunately, you don't just get the freebie from having the Wyndham card. So now people have to earn the status in another way to keep it. So it's definitely not dead. Some people are exaggerating and saying the status matching is dead. That's not true. There's still ways to do it, but it's just going to require a little bit of preparation.
So appreciate the clarification there. Let's pivot to Vegas. Obviously, you spend a fair bit of time there, it seems, given the amount of times that you've run into Tom at the hash house.
Yes. What's the veggie hashes and the large chicken sandwiches that you've been getting?
I think that's our main meeting place that Justin and I are always in finding each other at the hash house at the Rio. So,
yeah, as we call it, the community center of the Miles and Points community
is the Hyatt house. Community Center.
Yes, the Hyatt Community Center.
This will be like a retirement plan one day of like, we're just really old and we're just going to hang out in Vegas, live out of hotels. Yeah, that breakfast is really great, guys.
I mean, people do it on cruise ships. You got the medical care there too. What has been your feeling of Vegas in 2025? Is it busier? Is it quieter? I mean, we see a lot on social media, but how much do you believe? How much can anybody believe? Tell us what the ground truth is, please.
Oh, yes. The rumors of Vegas's death are greatly exaggerated. The doomsayers, the lamenters. It's really wild because I think Vegas is one of the cheapest places to travel to. It's tons of value, tons to do, lots of free entertainment. There's always the Bellagio fountains, the Flamingo Wildlife Exhibit, the Conservatory at Bellagio. You can take the MGM tram to get around. You can go to Fremont Street in downtown. So there's so much to do. And they're basically giving it away with MGM Rewards, quote unquote, playing the My Vegas games. Every time I go, I come with a war chest of rewards to deploying the capital dollars, as one press release had said about Atlantic City one time. Getting all these 20 off of 40 food deals, buy one, get one, match play. They used to have the free play, so that's gone, but the blackjack match play is still in there. So I'm easily getting hundreds of dollars of value through food deals and some match play while in Vegas. And then I use free hotel nights as well. So I get two comp nights with MGM. And since I have the status through credit card spend, I'm not paying resort fees. So it's just outright two free nights. I've stayed at MGM Grand. I've stayed at New York recently. In the past, I've stayed at Bellagio, Mandalay Bay. Some of these properties come and go. Aria is no longer on the list. I believe Bellagio is also not there either. So unfortunately, some things change for the worse, but there's still tons of value through the My Vegas games, stacking that with comps that you earn from the credit card spend. So I think my biggest expense in Vegas is tips, because the food is taken care of with my Vegas and comps. And then I went to Waldorf Astoria. I used my Hilton quarterly credits that everybody loves. And I had some other perks to use as well. Tier matching at Virgin Casino, getting $100 in food there. So they're definitely giving you a lot of reasons to go to Vegas with all these savings. And that's not even to mention downtown Las Vegas. Some of the deals there, the Las Vegas Advisor coupon book, the Miracle Mile shops people really like, where you're not going to get free food at Miracle Mile, but maybe you'll find things around the $10 price point.
Justin, you're making me really, really want to, you know, my Vegas fix is needing some attention here, because you're reminding me all the reasons why I love going to Vegas. And believe it or not, I've managed to go through, what is this, a fair amount of the year here in August, and still have not been to Vegas in 2025.
Oh, wow. Yes, I have my phone army on separate table, where I boot the phones around 9 in the morning and around 8 at night. And I boot these different phones I have. I got some like
this super is all to eBay. Gain the My Vegas points, right? Is that primarily
Yes. The playing the different games on the different phones to earn the points. I would get these older phones on eBay. They're like locked to a carrier. The microphone is busted and people are selling them for like $5 or $10. Or I could order track phones on HSN and QVC, and they're like $30 or $40 for these phones. And you're getting a real phone number, so then you could double dip in other apps and programs and get some maybe free birthday rewards or restaurant rewards, because maybe some people have multiple birthdays in a year. You never know, right? And you could do a lot with an extra phone number, but primarily I'm using the phones to run the games. So I run this little phone farm, very little attention to it. I'll multitask. If I have something on the TV, I could just set up the games while I'm watching something on the TV, or maybe I'm on a phone call. I have to call a bank to speak with America's funnest bank, American Express, and I'll just run the games while I'm on a call. Or maybe I'm making a certain payment on a phone call. Like, there's a lot of multitasking. So some people, oh, it takes all this time. Oh, I don't want to do it. Like, it's really not that difficult. And you probably don't need to have 7 phones. You could probably be okay with 1 or 2, but of course, I'd recommend the full suite.
You're probably a bit of an edge case, Justin, but I've always been a reasonable balance.
Optimizer.
I also optimize using MyVegas, and I've enjoyed it. And by the way, moment of silence, I miss not having free play from MyVegas. So that was something I would.
Oh, love, the Konami free play. Yeah, it's like $75, yeah. $100 yeah. right there every trip.
Yeah, $100. You know, I'd almost make it worth paying revenue nights at, you know, even if I had a comp sometimes, because it'd be cheaper just to, you know, get that and get some free play. In some cases, you know, especially on like inexpensive Excalibur rooms or Luxor rooms of like, you know, under $20 after you take out the resort fee.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So I would do that. So I would sometimes have a comp offer or, you know, what I would really love to do is sometimes they'd have those room rates that included food credit, right? So I'd use the food credit. And then on top of that, I'd use a coupon. So I'd really be maximizing. So, but you know, for our listeners who haven't, definitely search for Justin Hurdy-Gurdy, My Vegas on YouTube. He has done a bunch of really, I mean, I was doing it wrong for many years, by the way, Justin, until you set me on the right path. And since I've really been enjoyed, I probably redeemed, you know, so many, I don't know what the actual number is, but so many of these coupons for, you know, discounted meals, you know, free rooms, free tickets to various activities or 2-for-1s and, you know, things that, you know, and some of them, mind you, I mean, you probably wouldn't have done. I probably won't be going to the Mandalay Bay Aquarium, you know, quite as many times as maybe I've been. But if it's free, or if you've got, you know, your guests with you and hey, you want to go to this aquarium? I'm like, yeah, you know, why not? You know, there's some of those kind of nice deals out there.
They even added gift cards to the app recently. If you have the higher VIP levels, as they have their own status now, you can get these VIP status. I had VIP 4. So I was able to get some $10 and $15 gift cards. I was recently on the cusp of VIP 5, and I actually made a purchase. I spent $1.99 using Google Play
credits. To just get over the hump, right, to 5?
To get to VIP 5, yeah. So there are some $20, $30 gift cards in there, additional rewards. There's a sphere admission as well.
Oh, I haven't seen
that. So maybe that's the postcard from Earth, I believe it's called.
Is that at the VIP 5 level that you need to be to get that?
VIP 5, I believe, yes, although it is liable to change. So I probably won't get a free Taylor Swift ticket if she ends up being there, or the Wizard of Oz ticket, but maybe some other attraction at Sphere. So there's definitely a lot of promise in the game. There are some ads and some things you have to click out of to get into the game because they really, really want you to spend money and buy chips. But you can be completely free to play, get VIP 4 with completely free to play, which gates some of the hotel rooms. You need to get, I think, 3, but it's very easy to get 3 and 4. You just have to check in with the games each day, do the daily collections, and yeah, you'll figure it out. But even at a low effort, just one phone, I think it's trivial to get like 1 million LP a month, and you could easily get the food deals, the match play, and some of the other lower rewards.
It definitely requires a little bit of effort, I won't deny. I mean, but you know, definitely don't be overwhelmed by it. It's not, you can start pretty small, and you can definitely get rewards and something of value without having to buy chips. And I think, Justin, I think you've done a pretty good job of showing through some of your YouTube videos how to do that and do it without, you know, having to put any actual money into this ecosystem.
Yes, easily saving you hundreds per Las Vegas trip. So what else are people doing? Are they just watching stuff on streaming services? Well, they could probably multitask. Do they have to make a phone call? There's a multitask opportunity right there. I'd be walking across parking lots and I'll pull up Tetris on my phone and open a gift box for LP. Like, there's just a lot you can do to earn these
points. And I actually like playing Tetris sometimes, you know? It's actually a somewhat fun game, believe it or not. So
yes, that's in the suite of games, which is interesting. They added that one. So lots of Vegas and lots of Vegas value. You have the Miracle Mile shops, lots of food deals there. Downtown has some cheaper options as well. But I think what the critics are doing is, oh, look at this mini bar charged $20 for water. And oh my God, it's an injustice. And Vegas is so expensive. And this is just a sign.
They
of
do
that.
Fixate on that. I mean, I must admit, the Aria charging over $20 for a bottle of water is pretty extreme. But at the same time, I mean, it has gotten so much airplay, you know, in the media. But I've
set a personal rule a long time ago to just not interact with mini bars. So they could charge $100 for a bottle of water and I'm still not going to get it. Like, what's it to me to walk to CVS and get a case of water? Or if you have a rental car, maybe you go to a grocery store and get a case of water. And some of the VIP check-in
areas. Not only the mini bars, you know, those convenience stores in the casino that have no prices, that have dynamic pricing. I mean,
I wouldn't suggest
those. I will say the casinos have found ways to extract money from people who enjoy convenience. And mind you, those of us who go frequently, you know, know where the traps are and avoid them. However, you know, I think a lot of people get caught up in them and then they remember that and then it becomes fodder for the media and kind of this latest story of, oh, you know, Vegas is, you know, really there to kind of like extract the most amount of money from you, which it kind of is. But I think the thing that they are not picking up on is there are so many ways to avoid that, especially if you know, kind of use your head a little bit.
I would argue, though, that Vegas is very similar to Disney World, right? I mean, if you want to maximize...
Adult Disney World.
Yeah, it is. It is an adult Disney World, right? I would argue that you need to put in the time and you need to put in a little bit of work, maybe more than a little bit of work if you're Justin, which is, I feel like your YouTube videos are like graduate level, you know, stuff, which candidly we see from Disney people as well.
That's true. I think
it's true. If you want to maximize, it does require a lot of sacrifice. I mean, on the Disney side, yeah, you're staying up until midnight to try to get a fast pass. I think I'm not up to speed on this. I haven't been to Disney since they did all that stuff. And then you're like up at, you know, 5 a.m. to rope drop and all that other stuff. I mean, maybe you're not going to that level, Justin, but would you at least admit that it does take work, a level of research and a level of preparation, right? You've got your cell phone army going now so that when you get to Vegas, you've got all these comps, all these different offers.
Yeah, it's just a few minutes a day with the phones multitasking optimally. So it's very little effort, I think, on my end. And I think with most things, you're going to need to put in some effort because what's the alternative? You're going to be maybe working at a traditional job and trading your time for money there. And then what? You're going to spend $200, $300 a night at a hotel. Then you're going to pay for parking. Then you're going to pay for the resort fee. So I say with some free time, maybe you could start with some of these tactics and make and save money. That's what we're about in the Miles and Points community. So we'll put in that little effort. And of course, everyone's level of participation will be different. Personally, I quit my job because I felt that I was making more money through gambling Miles and Points. And it's been like 6 or 7 years. So there's always going to be some trade-off. It's unlikely that you're just going to get an invitation from a casino in Las Vegas if you've given them zero action and you're just sitting there complaining that things are expensive. And then when there are ways to avoid those costs, you don't do them and then you're just complaining. So it's important to take action and do some sensible things. And perhaps the easier plays first and then maybe the more advanced ones later.
Well, kudos to you, Justin, from those of us here on the past cast that are W-2 folks and not 1099 folks. So,
yes, and it's been very fun doing this. I've always been into games and gaming and got into gambling like early 20s, mid-20s, and now I'm about 35. And I still find fun in this, doing this years later, the money making, the money saving, figuring out the puzzle, the community. And the successes, the constant successes are really fun. So being able to take these trips, I wouldn't otherwise pay what I'd be paying hundreds of dollars to fly to Vegas, hundreds of dollars to stay, and it'd be a very expensive trip. But just saying that, hey, I can go and space these trips out by like a month, go multiple times a year. I've even stayed for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks at a time and spent next to nothing because there's just so much value to unlock.
And the fact that you love it after so many years is absolutely amazing. If I may, can we pivot to another thing that you seem to really contribute, notable member of the community, and that's at conferences. So I think you host your Philly meetups, but you're also talking at a couple of more, shall we say, national conferences, if I may.
Yes, there's the Greater Philadelphia Travel Credit Miles and Points meetup in Willow Grove, Pennsylvania. We meet at a giant supermarket. They have a community center above the store, the upstairs. So it's a nice space to meet. Many are going to Giant, buying gift cards, getting money orders, pumping gas and other things. So it's a nice place to meet. You can get all kinds of food downstairs. They have a Chinese restaurant with made-to-order food, one of my favorite grocery award redemptions. And a salad bar and so much more, so people can get the food they like or even bring some food in, but maybe just don't tell the people upstairs who host the area. And you can.
I need to go visit that. You know.
Oh yes,
I need to come. I've been threatening to come to your Philly meetup for a while. And the Giants in your area sound kind of like Wegmans. You know, like it's a little different. Yes. You know, we have Giant in the Mid-Atlantic too, but our Giant is kind of similar to like Stop and Shop. Even though I feel like there's some sort of
this
similarity
particular Giant
in ownership.
Is a super Giant, so they have the more amenities.
It does sound like a pretty amazing supermarket with a community room and all of it.
So to finish Tom's comment, it does seem like up in your area the Giants are more like Wegmans, a little bit nicer offerings, maybe like a Harris Teeter's. Which I think is really cool. And with a community center there, I mean, that sounds like a very logical place to meet. I think you're also speaking at some of the other conferences coming up this year, notably the Chicago seminars.
Yes, three speaking engagements. There's Chicago Seminars Hyatt, there's Chicago Seminars IHG, and Zork Fest, which will be in Las Vegas at M Resort. M as in Mary, M Resort. Casino Hotel. So looking forward to speaking at those three events and planning to have different presentations for all of them as well. It's been nice to engage with the community, learn from others, network. So highly recommend others come to these events, especially if you're newer to the space, there's a lot more to learn. But for the more intermediate to advanced people, there are certain tracks or sessions that you could attend that might be more relevant. And then there's the hallway con and meeting people at local restaurants and one-on-one and just engaging with the community in general.
Yeah, I know we've had Michael Traeger on and I've had positive things to say about TravelsWork the couple times that I've been. And I think I've seen Justin there too. Definitely excited for this year, although I'm thinking I'm not going to be able to make it because it's during my birthday this year and I had made other plans. Still really do recommend people give it at least a look and consider it because it's a really good event. I think Michael does a really good job of curating speakers and content and making it kind of a worthwhile event. With a lot of surprise and delight kind of stuff. I know that last year he had Jack Daniels sponsoring and I managed to get a bottle of Jack Daniels with laser etched picture of myself on it. So that was kind of fun. I still have that in my little bar area. I should probably open it one of these in Jay's and drink it, but I don't know. It's kind of fun having a bottle with your face on it.
Oh, it's a family heirloom.
Have the bottle without the alcohol as well. That's also a possibility.
That is also a possibility.
But as the band Ailstorm has said, not to be confused with the band Hailstorm, the alcohol is free. And that was certainly the case at the event. There was a mini bar opening the event, and then there were the engraved bottles on the way out. And it was funny because on the final day, there were some people that didn't claim their bottles, so they were giving away bottles. So I had multiple bottles leaving the conference. Not necessarily guaranteed for 2025, but definitely a lot of ways to save on drinks in Vegas as well. I've been going to the Pinkies by Vanderpump and using the Caesars Diamond vouchers or credits there and getting $25 drinks. It's an interesting place. The casino is really old and kind of dumpy on some appraisals, but they've opened the brand new restaurant on the outside and it's really, really nice. And the drinks are really high quality.
I really have to pick your brain because I too will be going to the Zorkfest in December. I have got to prepare myself. I don't see myself doing too much away from the main hotel. I mean, I think it's not the closest, like, I don't know if it's walking distance to everything. And so I'm going to be more focused on the networking aspect. But are there any suggestions that you'd have for me to prepare myself, for any comps that I might be able to sort of, start accruing now? Or is that hotel kind of insulated from, the various cell phone army type strategies?
They are affiliated with, I believe, Boyd Gaming or Penn Entertainment in some way. They used to have a Penn Entertainment credit card that was open to the public. Yes, not Boyd, or maybe I'm getting a little bit confused, but there was a Penn Entertainment credit card that was open at one point that you were able to earn comps and use them there. But as far as I know, it's no longer open to the public as of recording August 2025. I attempted to apply for it, but was not successful. So that is isolated. But you can take a quick ride share to get to other venues and dine there. But for the conference itself, yes, you'll probably be just on property for the conference, but maybe after sessions, later at night, the day before, the day after, then that would be a time to visit the MGM properties or other places and take advantage of some deals.
Cool. I definitely might try to venture out. These conferences, you want to be where the action is. And I think that's where you get the greatest value of these things. And I'm excited to finally get there. I tried to get there last year and I can't remember why, but just couldn't make it. And it's a shame because I feel like Tom and I have tried multiple times and the stars haven't aligned for both of us to make there.
Yeah. So for some reason, one of us is always unavailable.
The classic travel hacker's dilemma, travel interfering with other travel or maybe other commitments.
Yes,
exactly. You got it right on. I think travel interfering with travel is probably a pretty big root cause on this.
Yes, I really wanted to speak at the FTU Dallas event. They invited me to speak there and I told them that, sorry, I can't make it, but I booked a Princess cruise some time ago. So I hope to also be there in 2026, and I blocked that month out so I won't have travel interfering with other travel. It's funny, yes. And I went to Poland earlier this year as well, and people were asking me about, oh, would you like to meet here, or I'm going to be in this location. No, sorry, I can't make it. I'm in Poland. So all the things going on, but it's a nice problem to have that we just have so many options in this hobby that we have to decline many things. I mean, how many cruise offers I've received to come back and sail this interior room or go to the Caribbean islands again. I've gone on 7 cruises this year and I'll go on an 8th later in the year. So it's really been a tremendous hobby, really life-changing as we hear some people lamenting the hobby. Oh, it's a waste of time. Oh, it's inaccessible. Oh, Dave Ramsey saying that it's practically impossible to use miles and points. So we get to prove those people wrong all the time. And again, still have fun while doing it, not going into debt, not paying interest, continuing to be responsible with our spending as responsible adults and finding a lot of fulfillment through this as well with community and just personal accomplishment.
I have to say, preach. I get a kick out of your occasional responses to Dave Ramsey posts.
It's so bad. And I think what's even worse is that some people in Miles and Points defend Dave and say, well, oh, he's not so bad or he's good for some people. But the problem is that he's not giving an accurate picture. He's saying that credit is bad for everyone, that everyone's going to be irresponsible, everyone's going to be overspending. And he makes these straw man arguments that you need to spend $100,000 on Discover. So he doesn't even mention which card to get $1,000. But nobody serious is suggesting that strategy. And then he's making his noises like, oh, you think that's a financial strategy for success? Like, nobody's recommending that, Dave. That'd be a very silly thing to do. So he just doesn't know what he's talking about. And he can't even get the basics of credit right, saying that FICO score is 100% based on debt and you need to go in debt to have high credit scores. So he can't even get the basics right. And he's just really scaring people. He's spreading misinformation. And you could be honest, and I'll be honest and say, look, you probably shouldn't be using credit cards if you lack personal responsibility. Just like with alcohol, that some people might drink too much and have problems. But to say that alcohol is bad for everyone because some people drink too much is not a fair statement.
Or gambling, for that matter.
Yeah, sure.
Gambling. I mean, that's a great example, actually. Gambling is a great example because when you think about it, on the cruise, the way that Royal Caribbean lays out the benefit of the program, right? You can make educated decisions based on, you know, basic knowledge of odds, and you can essentially lay out, hey, I'm willing to lose up to this to try to get, you know, a defined benefit, so to speak. I think as you get more toward those things, and then even further to what you talk about, Justin, with the cell phone armies and kind of how you're doing the, oh my gosh, I just forgot your advantaged loading of blackjack, trying to use your terms instead of 2 to 5x that we use. Larger miles and points community that doesn't necessarily do gambling. I think when you get up to your level, you're speaking to a different caliber audience than what I think Ramsey's aiming at. And the challenge is, more often than not, I think when people dumb things down, I think they do more people a disservice than they do a service.
Yep.
More people a disservice.
Right. I'm here to say, look, you can be intelligent and gamble, but if you're going to overspend, if you're going to play longer, if you're going to say, oh, well, I don't care about the math, I don't care about the odds, I'm just going to play anyway, and then you lose more money than you budget to lose, you could afford to lose, well, that's bad. But I'm not going to say that all gambling is bad, all credit is bad, all anything is bad. I'm just going to educate people about the positives, the negatives, and have them make an informed choice rather than just taking a broad brush approach to things, scaring people and claiming things like Dave Ramsey says, the house always wins, which is a really uninformed statement as well. Some truth may be to it that they do have an edge in games, but when you're able to stack things, take advantage of loyalty programs, then you end up winning. Even if you give up a little bit to get a lot more back, then you're still a winner.
I wanted to pivot for a second because, you know, I think we spoke a lot about kind of gaming in the terrestrial realm, you know, whether it be Atlantic City or Vegas. And then we talked also about the online realm. I'm curious if you had what your experience was actually doing gambling or gaming on the seas on these various cruises that you've actually, you know, received from a lot of these different land-based casinos. That seems to be one of the bigger strategies you seem to leverage. But have you had any success or what has your experience been gaming, you know, on the seas?
Yes, I've been gambling on cruise ships as well. I've primarily been playing video poker, whereas typically you can attach a credit card to the room and do a room charge to load funds to the machines. So the Chase Sapphire Reserve at the moment, again, recording in August of 2025, is a very strong card to use because it codes as 3x travel. So if you can charge, say, $1,000 to the Chase Sapphire Reserve, upload that in video poker, you're going to get 3x ultimate rewards. So if you're giving up 3 or 4% on the base game of video poker, if you're playing the optimal strategy or perhaps close to it, it's going to make sense to do that if you're valuing the ultimate rewards at somewhere 1.25, 1.5 cents per point or much better. So it's a classic trade-off of you're giving up a little bit of house edge, but you're able to run through a lot of money. When I cruised with Celebrity, I did slightly below $10,000 in playthrough. And I received a lot of return offers to come back. Initially, there were some ocean view rooms, and now I'm getting a lot of interior offers, which aren't terrible. But the main idea was to get spend in on the Chase Sapphire Reserve and then accrue the points in exchange for the little bit of house edge. And now MGM Rewards announced earlier this year that they're expanding and offering what they're calling something like reciprocal tier benefits, that if you were to gamble on Celebrity or Royal Caribbean, that you would also earn MGM tier and comps. So that's a really exciting opportunity to get even more for your play on the ship. And the other option is blackjack, that there can be something like you buy in at the blackjack table for $1,000, you play for something like 30 minutes, so you're giving up a little bit of edge there, but not so much. And preferably you're playing when the game is very busy, it's late, players are playing slow, so you're not as exposed, not having to play as many hands. Then you cash out your chips, get the cash, and repeat. Although this isn't as scalable from my experience, because at some point I've been pulled away by a pit boss and they said, oh, well, you've bought in using credit or room charge in other sessions, so why don't you use that cash? And they'll say things like, oh, we're not going to let you buy in, whatever. And I try to explain that the reason I'm doing it is to get the credit card rewards because I have it tied to the room. So I'm willing to play, but since I'm getting the rewards, that's bringing me to the table. Otherwise, if I use cash, I just don't want to play. And sometimes you can get a little bit more down. But in my experience, I get cut off around like 3 or 4 buy-ins at blackjack. So I've just been sticking to video poker that's just not as monitored and they don't seem to care as much.
I would agree with that. I think the machines are a little bit easier to deal with generally. It's very different, I think. I think a lot of those policies or the ways that they police that vary by line pretty frequently. So, you know, obviously, if you're at least a little bold, you know, you can always try it and see how far you get.
Yes, cashier's making up the rules, pit boss is making up the rules. There's like no clear limit. If they said like, okay, well, the limit is $4,000 in room charges, then okay, well, let's do the 4,000. But then they're going to claim, oh, you've done excessive charges or something is wrong here. They're going to accuse you of like inappropriate honey maundering, if you will, to rhyme with something else. And, you know, maybe you get a lifetime achievement award of like, oh, you bought in on other ships and then this one. So therefore, based on your past activity, the situation of what happened and everything else, that's what dictates that. And you just can't do anything. You try to reason and you just can't. You can't do it.
I must just still fly under the radar. I just go at the machines, pull some out, play it through, pull whatever's left, and then I'll go up to the tables, that sort of thing. So I think we gotta wrap it, though. We've covered a lot of different ground and really appreciate your time, Justin, and sharing everything. I mean, I feel like we've gotten kind of like an intro to masters in maximizing gambling opportunities from a points and miles perspective. Can you tell our listeners how they can find you? Want to make sure that they can get to your wonderful resources. I know that you've got the Hurdy Gurdy podcast, but you've also got the YouTube, how they can find you on social media.
Yes, thanks for the kind words and having me on. If listeners go to hurdygurdytravel.com, it's HURDYGURDY travel.com, you'll find my website. If you just search for the Hurdy Gurdy, that's a musical instrument, so you might not quite find me. But hopefully the name is memorable enough and different from other creators. So you can go to hurdygurdytravel.com. You'll see posts, you'll see podcast episodes, travel videos, much more. YouTube is my main base of operations. And then I have the podcast, which populates out from SoundCloud to Spotify, Zencaster, I believe, and other programs.
Awesome. I need to do some more watching on your YouTube channel. I've been remiss lately. You just share such great content there. I think with that, well, that's the show. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed listening.
If you've enjoyed this episode, consider becoming a Milenomics Patreon member and get access to even more in-depth miles, points, and travel content.
Until then, we hope your next story is a travel story.